The Israel Report with Rolien Marks.
Wow, Rolien Marks, you've been singing for your supper today, have you not?
Whew, I have been singing for my supper, Simon.
Yeah, with some fairly challenging audiences, I believe. How did that work for you today?
Yes, but you know what? Bring it on, I say. Bring it on. I am proud of who I am. I'm proud of what I represent. I'm proud of the South African Jewish community. I'm proud of all the supporters and the allies to the South African Jewish community. I'm proud to be Israeli. Bring them on, I say.
I hear you. I love what you're saying. I needed to hear that because after seeing what Jesse Duarte was up to yesterday, I personally want to hang my head in shame, put my head in the sand and pretend that she doesn't exist. That's how embarrassed I am of our representatives.
Well, let me say, guys, just pour yourselves a hot cup of Jacob's coffee and just remember one thing. As much as you guys have been here for us and you have been legends, the South African Jewish community, our incredible Christian supporters, our amazing allies from all communities, including Muslims, I will have you know, have been amazing for the State of Israel. And I have you know that the State of Israel stands 100% behind you guys.
Yeah, I think we need to hear that. All right, so Rolien, let's get on to the news, the newsy bit of the afternoon. Let's talk about diplomatic updates. What is going on over the last 24 hours?
So we have had quite an eventful 24 hours. We welcomed this morning Dominic Raab. He is the UK Foreign Secretary to Israel. He met with both Prime Minister Netanyahu and his counterpart, Gabi Ashkenazi. He has spoken about the ceasefire, maintaining it, reiterating Israel's right to defend ourselves. And I know that we are defending ourselves, guys, on land, air, sea, and airwaves. And you guys play a major part in that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. And with his conversation with Foreign Minister Gabi Ashkenazi, he also spoke about the importance of weakening Hamas and the danger that Iran poses to the region and to the world should they be in possession of a nuclear missile and the use of their proxies. Also, I know many of you are wondering, like, what is the situation with regards to diplomacy and the Arab world? I mean, we've come through one of the greatest tests that we could have been given, and the Arab world have indicated they're standing strong with the Abraham Accords. In fact, there was a statement by the UAE during Operation Guardians of the Wall, or Mifza Shomer Chomot, as we call it in Hebrew, saying that they will withdraw aid to Hamas for infrastructure projects if they continue to fire on Israel. But we have it on good authority that we have come through this with our diplomatic ties intact, and we will continue to build on that. And I know there's been some controversy because yesterday in Ramallah, meeting with the Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, the U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said that they're going to reopen their consulate in Jerusalem. Now, before there's mass panic, let's unpack this. First of all, the consulate has been absorbed or was absorbed into the embassy in the past, and that this is a move that has been discussed with Prime Minister Netanyahu, has been discussed with the Israelis, and is subject to Israeli approval. So that is where we are holding with that. But we are we emerged from all of this pretty strong, pretty much intact.
Ro, you say that. Our news broadcasting at 5 o'clock saying that Saudi Arabia had closed airspace to Israeli jets yesterday. Is it holding?
No. It was momentarily disputed whether or not they would have their airspace open to us. But airspace was open to us and flights resumed as normal.
Okay. And then, sorry, this is just hot off the press as well. The Times of Israel reporting just a couple of moments ago about Arab countries wanting a dedicated oversight of Israeli human rights, alleged Israeli human rights abuses. Did you see that headline?
I did see those headlines, and let's take a look at which Arab state, because when we think Arab states, we tend to think in our neighborhood in the Gulf. This was initiated by Pakistan. Pakistan is probably the last on the list that should be talking about human rights abuses, just saying. But they have appealed, along with the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, for the UN to set up a permanent commission to report on human rights violations in Israel, Gaza, and the West Bank. And this is initiated by Pakistan. So we have to look at that, and we have to look at the intricacies of this. You know, we have to understand that when we talk Arab countries or Organization of Islamic Cooperation, and perhaps the headline is misleading because this is the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, we're not necessarily talking about countries in our neighborhood directly. So we have to look at the nuances and complexities. And, you know, and this is something that many of us who are taking the battle to the airwaves, is that we are, and to social media, are trying to impress upon people, is that this is not a conflict that is so easy to read. This is a conflict you won't understand where we sit with this conflict.
Talking about nuances and complexities, much to my massive surprise, the head of UNRWA in Gaza said some pretty interesting things, which apparently he has walked back. Yeah, give us the story.
Well, this is interesting because I just came off a debate that raised my blood pressure and will raise yours as well as soon as I post it. And one of the comments was that Israel doesn't fire within civilian infrastructure. So after I had to be picked up off the floor, I had to quote a very interesting development that happened yesterday, and that's UNRWA director Matthias Schmale. He was speaking to Israel's Channel 12, and he actually lauded the IDF for their precision sophistication in their pinpoint strikes on Gaza. He said that although they were more vicious than before in their severity against Hamas infrastructure, that Israel had gone through every conceivable effort to avoid civilian casualties. He also mentioned that while Mifza Shomer Chomot was underway, that humanitarian aid, food, medical supplies still continued to come into the Gaza Strip. Now, today he had to issue an apology, he had to walk back his comments, and he had to issue an apology to Hamas. And Simon, I shudder to think of what tactics were employed by Hamas to ensure that he, in fact, apologized. In fact, he apologized directly for offending Hamas. And believe me, I don't think Hamas is an organization that is easily offended. So it pains me to think of what this man has possibly had to endure over the last 24 hours. But yeah, he had to walk back his comments that Israel engaged in a precision pinpoint destruction. And we know that. I mean, we do have some stats coming in from the Gaza Strip. We do know that they are still busy counting the casualties. This is because of the bombing of the metro system, the underground system, which is not an underground train. Listeners, it is an underground system of tunnels used to launch terror attacks. But we do know that about 100 to 200 people have died in the Gaza Strip, at least 180 of them combatant, which is a very, very important figure to remember. So Israel has tried as much as possible to avoid civilian casualties. The same can't be said for Hamas.
Rolene, and then this devastating story about the cable car crash in Italy, wiping out a family, bar a five-year-old kid.
Well, this was a horrendous, horrendous story that broke on Sunday. This is a story where a cable car in Italy, in one of the greatest tourist areas, crashed and killed 14 people. Now, today, the Italian authorities arrested three people and accused them of manslaughter because they said that they consciously deactivated the emergency brake. Now, amongst the 14 that were tragically killed was an Israeli family of five, including their two-year-old infant. A five-year-old little boy, Eitan, has survived. He has been in a hospital. His situation is improving, and we know that the bodies of those who have perished are being flown back to Israel for funerals. And of course, we'll be watching the situation to see what is happening with the little Eitan. But very movingly, yesterday, His Holiness Pope Francis, the Pope, sent his prayers to the to those who had perished and their families, and singled out little Eitan. And I was very moved to see that earlier today, at a communal gathering, a Holocaust survivor was present, and the pontiff went up to her. No words were exchanged, and I get tears when I say this, but he lifted her arm and he kissed the tattoo of her numbers from Auschwitz. A very, very moving moment, indeed.
Indeed. Rolene Marks, thank you for your input this afternoon. Go have that whiskey that you so clearly deserve, and we will chat again tomorrow.
May have imbibed already.
Okay, you deserve it. You deserve it. You deserve it. We'll chat tomorrow, Ro.
We'll speak tomorrow. Cheers, guys.